Rail Holdings. Good morning and welcome to you both. Thanks for putting in the original submission, which we've read, and also for pre-circulating your evidence and also the legal submissions, both of which we've read, so you don't need to read any of that out to us. You're probably pleased to know.
Great.
But you are very welcome to highlight key points for us, and then we'll see if we have questions for you.
So there were just some aspects of the legal submissions that they wanted to draw particular attention to, and then we thought that it might be better just to answer questions between us rather than Ms. Beale's reading.
Oh yeah, that's fine. We're just keen to get the best information we can, so either of you can answer a question, that's fine.
Great. So just touching on the highlight points in the submissions, we've included for you at 1.4 of my submissions in the diagram that shows the locations of the rail lines in South Auckland for your information. Then really just over at 2.6 is the key point in terms of the historic heritage matter that KiwiRail's raised. And this is, so in 2.6 we've noted that KiwiRail acknowledges that historic heritage is a part two matter relevant for the consideration of all plans and consents, and that it's a function of the Regional Council under 31A and B to prepare objectives, policies and methods in relation to the integrated management of resources. But objectives and policies, but not methods, in relation to the actual potential effects of the use, development or protection of land. And so that's where that distinction is between what controls can go on land in a regional plan versus in a district plan. So as recorded in 2.8, there are clear statutory limits in 31C on the purposes of rules controlling the use of land. And controlling land use for the purpose of historic heritage is not a listed function of regional councils under 31C. By contrast, 31.1B provides that it's a function of district councils to control those. So in short, it's recorded at the bottom of 2.8 there. Land use controls designed to protect or otherwise manage the historic heritage of a region are to be found in the relevant district plan, not regional. So as I've recorded in 2.10 there, providing for historic heritage through a committed activity standard in a regional plan contravenes the limited scope of land use controls a regional council can legitimately include in a regional plan, and leads to potential inconsistencies and duplication of controls between the district and regional plans. Now, for these reasons, KiwiRail supports the recommendation in the Section 42A report to delete the permitted activity standard and replace it with an advice note setting out the obligations under the Heritage Act. That the issue is that that just hasn't been done consistently yet through the plan. So, turning then to the historic heritage provisions, I've noted in 2.12 the two places where it seems accidental that those references haven't yet been deleted. And then I addressed Rule 67 from my 2.14. Now, as I say in 2.16, it seems clear from the 42A report that the intention was to delete the reference to the heritage list from these two rules, which hasn't been done yet. And then I've repeated there in 2.17 to 2.19 the reasons why we say that those rules or permitted standards shouldn't be there. So that's in terms of the Section 42A recommendations on historic heritage. The next section of the submissions responds to Heritage New Zealand's submission points and also Ngāi Tahu in relation to the historic heritage, and that's really there just to push back on the amendments that they're seeking, but we support the 42A report except for the minor issues raised in the preceding section. And then I thought it would be useful to run through the other amendments that KiwiRail continues to seek. As Ms. Beals notes in her evidence, there are a number of submission points where KiwiRail accepts the recommendation in the report, even when the amendment isn't what was exactly sought, but yep. KiwiRail is happy with that. So there are just a handful still where we're seeking amendments, and they're set out in Section 4 of my legal submissions. So firstly, with Cleanfill and Rule 42, the issue here is about the 500 cubic metre limit applying for the life of the plan and at the land holding of the size that KiwiRail has, and I'm sure in other areas, that for the life of the plan is too restrictive. And so the request is to change that to an annual basis to enable the clean fill on those larger land holdings. In 4.3, I've captured the sort of the key reasons that come out of Ms. Beale's evidence for supporting an annual approach instead, which includes that the larger land holdings are between 10 and 40 hectares, that KiwiRail generally manages and stores its excess clean fill material within the rail network rather than transporting it off site, limiting the amount of clean fill permitted to be deposited on each of these land holdings will unreasonably limit KiwiRail's ability to effectively manage the rail corridor, and amending the rule as per KiwiRail's submission would better give effect to Policy 35, recognising the nature of rail and its land holdings, and also be more consistent with the regulation of clean fill in the neighbouring Otago region, particularly 763 of the Otago Regional Plan Waste, which provides that clean fill of any volume are a permitted activity provided those sediments enter any water body. So from a Section 32 perspective, this provision risks the application of a one-size-fits-all approach across the region when there are various different mitigating and aggravating factors that may appear in different parts of the region. The size of KiwiRail's land holdings is one of those factors. It results in the proposed rule not being the most appropriate means of achieving the objectives and policies of the plan. In my submission, an annual requirement is a more appropriate control over the effects of clean fill activities than a site-by-site requirement that might exist in perpetuity, particularly over the large land holdings. So the next one is discharge of contaminants. KiwiRail sought to amend 46A1 to include as a permitted activity the discharge of contaminants from land contaminated by a hazardous substance when the discharge results from an existing lawfully established activity. The Section 42A report recommends that be rejected. However, it also recommends changing the and at the end of the clause to an or, thereby separating the clause from the quality standards, and that would address KiwiRail's concerns, so we support that change. The next one is erosion control structures, and I've set the actual text out in full here so that you can see it in place and what the issue is here. So clause C refers to gabion baskets and groins that do not meet one or more of the conditions listed above in A and B, but gabion baskets and groins don't appear in those versions above. So as I say in 4.11, as Ms. Beale states, it's not clear whether gabion baskets and groins require consent under clause C or are permitted where the conditions in A or B are met. KiwiRail sought to include reference to gabion baskets and groins within the structures listed as permitted activities in that rule, which hasn't been accepted. In the first set of responses to questions, you queried whether the gabion baskets or groins would be permitted activities if they met the conditions of either 61A or B. And in response, the Council amended this condition with the intention to clarify that Rule 61C addresses structures that do not meet the conditions of A and B, and that other erosion control structures are discretionary activities. KiwiRail does not support this amendment and does not consider that D, as currently drafted, is sufficiently clear that all other erosion control structures are discretionary, regardless of whether they meet the standards in A and B. KiwiRail also disagrees with the Council's approach to erosion control structures, particularly gabion baskets and groins. Gabion baskets and groins are used extensively by KiwiRail throughout the region to protect existing structures in or over watercourses from the effects of erosion. The Section 42A report states that these structures listed in D have not been included as permitted activities, as the structures could have adverse effects on habitats, natural character, amenity, and other values. However, the structures already listed in A and B, being rock, riprap, and concrete, also have the potential to cause such effects, but would, in the Council's own view, be appropriately managed by the permitted activity standards. There is a need for consistency across plan rules, particularly where there is no policy or effects-based reason to differentiate between particular activities. While the requested amendment is relatively minor, it would have a significant positive impact on KiwiRail's ability to safely and efficiently operate, maintain, and upgrade the rail corridor. It would do so without causing adverse environmental effects, or at the very least, more adverse effects than those activities already included as permitted. In my submission, therefore, it would be appropriate to include gavion baskets and groins as a permitted activity in Rule 61A. And then finally, in relation to Rule 71, the channel realignment, widening or deepening, KiwiRail sought to narrow the scope of Rule 71 so that it did not inadvertently create consenting requirements for activities that would otherwise be permitted under other rules. This has been rejected by the reporting officer, and the reasoning is stated there. KiwiRail supports the discretionary activity status for the widening, realignment or deepening of a channel within the bed of a watercourse, unless the activity is otherwise provided for elsewhere in the proposed plan. However, activities provided for elsewhere, such as the installation of fords, culverts and erosion control structures, may require some minor widening or realignment of a watercourse. The effects of these activities are adequately addressed in the associated standards and rules. The issue is largely one of definitions. Greater clarity and consistency between plan provisions will aid in the interpretation of the proposed plan and enhanced certainty regarding KiwiRail's ability to undertake maintenance and upgrading works in the rail corridor. Therefore, my submission, Rule 71, should be amended such that it does not trigger a requirement for consent if the activity is provided for elsewhere in the plan as a permitted activity. So in conclusion, KiwiRail supports the environmental outcomes sought through the proposed plan. It supports a number of the amendments recommended in the Section 42A report. However, there remain a small number that KiwiRail continues to pursue, and it respectfully requests that the Commissioners amend the proposed plan in the manner sought by KiwiRail in its submission, as developed in the evidence of Ms. Beals and these legal submissions. In my submission, the amendments sought by KiwiRail will best achieve the purpose of sustainable management under Section 5 of the Act, the efficient and sustainable use and development of the rail corridor, give effect to the Southland RPS, and are the most appropriate means of achieving the objectives and policies of the plan.
Okay, see if you have questions.
Thank you, that's very clear. No, I think I can work through all of those requests. Thank you very much.
Reference to archaeological sites and your paragraph 3.9. Is the principal issue the fact that we were referring to the resource management plan that the schedule of sites is not being through a public process?
Sorry, did you say my paragraph 3.1?
3.9, sorry.
Oh, sorry. The starting point is that there shouldn't be rules in a regional plan controlling land use for the purpose of historic heritage. In terms of including a new list in Schedule 1, generally speaking, those schedules do need to go through a thorough Resource Management Act process beforehand, but there are sensitivities around identification of cultural sites that needs to be taken into account in preparing those documents.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yes, I just, a couple of things. Clean fill, for a start, I didn't know what it was. I'd look up the definition. I thought it was actually ballast and washed gravel, etc., but it's actually clay and dirt that has been removed.
It can also be ballast, though.
Right. So, as I read this, there's two things that come up. One is, can you effectively, by what you're stating, accumulate 500 cubic metres per year accumulative on a site, so you could have 2,000 or 3,000 cubic metres over a period of time?
That's right.
And under land holding, under the definition of land holding, I think you've referred in your, in here, it says each different section of land would be regarded as its own land holding, but is land holding with one owner being KiwiRail, would that actually be an issue for you? You could only put 500 metres in one over multiple sites per annum?
So my understanding is that it's per title, so based on the definitions of site, it would be the depots and stuff back from the contractors.
We've had other submissions come in and talk to us about that lane holding.
Sorry, I didn't think it was 500 over the entire rail corridor within the entire region. I understood it was 500 per legal description or legally defined parcel of land.
So what
we're asking for is to be able to do 500 per year within that parcel of land. If it's the entire corridor, then it's an even greater problem for us. So I think in the submission and in the evidence, we talked about the fact that 500 is a low volume, but a better way, we could manage that if it wasn't 500 full stop, it was 500 per year. So at the current rule, it's 500 full stop. We would manage it if we had to at 500 a year, but my understanding of that was that it was for each parcel. So if we've got that wrong, then and it's corridor, then the 500 is going to be.
So what I'm highlighting is that because you're using land holding as a definition for land holding, it may by default actually give you some grief because the two aren't in line. So I'm just seeking clarification, and I understand what you're saying now is 500 metres per site, effectively, even though it's a common owner.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the site sizes are set out in Ms. Beale's evidence in terms of the range.
The range of them.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But they're basically between 10 and 40 hectares.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Just following up on that, because the questions that you've just been asked relate to the definition of land holding, which is a live issue before us. So what is the district plan zoning typically for the Kiwi Rail Corridor? How's it zoned? Is it zoned?
We very rarely have our own zone. So in some areas, the newer district plans are giving a transport or a strategic transport zone to rail and roadland. Generally, it's either unzoned or we adopt the adjoining zoning. So if it's residential around us, then we're also zoned residential rather than unzoned. So typically it varies, but we're generally consistent with the adjoining land. But it's all designated as well. So.
Yeah, okay. And it would be designated for rail purposes, wouldn't it?
That's correct.
Specific designation. No, that's good. Just in terms of the historic heritage issue, I understand what you're saying about Section 9 consents at a regional level. What about Section 13, 14 or 15 consents? Is there the same limitation on dealing with historic heritage?
I don't have the Act in front of me, but I don't think those sections are about land use. It's discharges.
Yeah, maybe only Section 13, because land includes land covered by water, so that's why I was asking. I genuinely don't know the answer to that. Would you be able to maybe have a think about that and come back to us in terms of Section 13, 14 and 15 consents? And you could look at Rule 42, which is the clean fill site, as an example. That is a condition, as the activity does not modify, damage or destroy any recorded historic heritage site, for example. So I'm curious to know if that's okay or if
well, that's come out. That was one of the submission points we had for that permitted activity standard to be removed.
Yeah, but I'd just be interested in still having the legal perspective on the Section 13, 14 and 15 consents. So don't do it now.
We can possibly do it right now though, if we have the time. So the main restriction is in Section 30 with the limited purposes for which you can control the use of land at a regional level. The disturbance in 13.1b is about the bed of the lake and river, which again isn't a land use.
It's just land, even though it's land covered by water. So where I was getting to in my thinking is maybe at Section 13 consent, we might have a jurisdictional issue trying to deal with historic heritage sites as well for the reasons that you outlined, but not so for Section 14 and 15 consents.
That's right. That would be my initial reaction.
Okay. Thanks for that initial reaction. Maybe if you give it some thought, and if you think you need to change that advice, just email it to one of our assistants over there, that'd be fine.
What sort of time frame would you require
that? Oh, end of the week or early next week,
would be fine. Perfect.
All right, thank you.